You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino. I didn't see this Justin Fields contract either. Did you see that?
I did see the Justin Fields contract. It's
okay,
a lot of
anyway.
Justin Fields. Are we just going here?
I'm Tristan Carcino. A lot is happening.
Things are happening quite quickly. Since we've last recorded our last emergency podcast, which was, I guess, about 64 hours ago, I guess, on Friday night, the Seattle Seahawks have traded DK Metcalf to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second round pick. They have extended Ernest Jones and Jaron Reed, the two key free agents that they had coming off of last season. And now they have a replacement for Geno Smith as their starting quarterback, having in the early hours of the legal tampering period of NFL free agency agreed to a 3-year contract with Slinging Sam Darnold to be their starting quarterback, worth $100.5 million with $5 million of that guaranteed, which I got to tell you, came in lower than I thought it would.
I got a little nervous there. I think it was so funny the amount of reporting that happens. I get the feeling the Seahawks didn't just contact Sam Darnold today and negotiate all of these numbers in this complicated contract in the last hour. But I was a little bit nervous over the weekend.
It's been almost two.
Okay, sorry. Over the weekend, I was a little bit nervous because you kept seeing these reports. Literally, we did our Geno Smith trade reaction podcast or emergency podcast, and it turned into a Sam Darnold podcast. And I said on that podcast that I thought a Darnold deal may be done in that moment, because you probably don't trade Geno Smith unless you know what's coming next. And there's a reality that Sam Darnold and his agents knew what the offers were out there. Maybe they could have changed over the weekend, but it seems like they probably didn't. And the Seahawks looked at this and they said to themselves, we have a suitor for Geno Smith that we know wants him desperately, a place that Geno Smith, by many implications, seems to want to go to. And we have a deal for Sam Darnold in place that is going to pay Sam Darnold basically equitable money, is what Geno Smith is making right now, but is almost certainly going to be less than what Geno Smith is going to be making on his next deal. And by also all reports, $10 million, possibly less, $5 to $10 million less than where the Seahawks started at on an extension for Geno Smith. And so I say to you, if you had these two options in front of you, you extend Geno Smith for 3 years, 4 years, 2 years, I don't know, at something like $45 million, or you sign Sam Darnold for a 3-year deal for $35 million, save $10 million on the salary cap, and pick up a third round pick, and get 7 years younger at quarterback, which of these options do you take?
I would go the Darnold route. Like, look, I understand the emotional connection.
You would go the Darnold route. It is a no fucking brainer.
I don't know that it is. We'll talk about the concerns about Sam Darnold in a little bit here. I do think, like, Geno Smith's age is a big factor here. We talked on that podcast about the Bill Barnwell stat, and you know, I people have like come to accept this idea that because of the fact that, you know, elite quarterbacks have been able to play at a high level well into their 30s, and in Tom Brady's case into his 40s, that there's not an aging curve, but there is. We saw it play out with Russell Wilson, who's not been the same quarterback since he left Seattle as he was in Seattle. We've seen it play out with Aaron Rodgers, who the part you didn't go into is the scare Sunday of, are the Seahawks going to sign Aaron Rodgers as their next starting quarterback? Which, if nothing else, served to make Sam Darnold look so much better.
Yeah, all of a sudden we were a lot more excited about Darnold.
It could have been a strategic leak by the Seahawks to, you know, just, it could get a lot worse. So given those factors, again, I think that pushes me to Darnold. One of the things we don't know about that $45 million figure is when people talk about extensions, they play kind of fast and loose with what they're talking about. Is it $45 million a year in new money? Is it $45 million a year, including this season? Because, you know, that he's locked in to a contract for 2025 at less than that $45 million. So if you're adding 2 years and $90 million, it starts to look more similar to this contract. I think that would end up being
three years
at about $120 million.
Also fine. Because again, he's going to be paid more cap-wise than Sam Darnold is going to be paid on this deal. That's almost a given, right? And the way that the Seahawks have set
I
this
don't know. I
up.
remember someone who on a podcast not so very long ago wasn't sure the Raiders were going to extend Geno.
On that first podcast?
That was you.
I mean, we have more reports since then. They probably shouldn't extend Geno. I don't know. Maybe I'm exposed as not thinking Geno Smith is the kind of quarterback that can lead you to a Super Bowl, but I think I've kind of felt the same way the whole time. And what were you saying?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing, like, there's a lot of takes out there. Like, the Seahawks didn't for
There
Geno
are a lot of
Smith.
takes out there.
There are so many takes out there. The Seahawks didn't get much more, especially now that we know when we were recording that podcast, we weren't very specific about it, but we assumed it was either pick 68 or pick 73 in the second round, which we knew the Raiders had. We did not realize they had pick 92 via the Devontae Adams trade, which is a considerably less good third round pick. And in the same ballpark is the kind of comp pick you could have potentially gotten for Geno Smith in the 2027 draft if he played out the season and then signed elsewhere in free agency next year. I don't think that was ever a realistic scenario for the Seahawks because of the possibility of Geno holding out. Like, that to me is the factor. Even if he is back by week one and doesn't miss any paychecks, like, Geno missing training camp with a new OC, that's your season is shot then.
I
So
totally
that was
agree.
never an option.
But the other piece is these organizations know information that we don't know. Like, things get reported, but when John Schneider is having these calls, he could talk to these GMs and be like, this team is signing this player, this team is signing this player, this team is signing this player. A lot of this stuff is done already, right? He's talking to agents at the same time. The Raiders know that the Seahawks want to sign Sam Darnold when they're going into that conversation. The timing that was given, where it's like Geno requested a trade Thursday and then was traded Friday. Like, there's just no way that all this stuff happened that fast. This is a very long ongoing process that hits kind of a tipping point right now of like, are we doing this? Yes. Okay. But I would say that there is a very high likelihood that the Seahawks knew Justin Fields was signing with the Jets, knew that Aaron Rodgers was signing with the Steelers,
I
knew
think
that
this
the
is
Raiders
way too definitive. I think you have an idea for you
were a
don't
pretty good
necessarily
chance.
know what other teams are going to do, but like the idea
The
that the
but the
Raiders
Raiders
knew the Seahawks were going to
also
end up with Sam Darnold,
had a
I don't
pretty
buy that.
good sense that there wasn't going to be a massive quarterback market for Geno Smith, because where does he go at that point? Like, which of these teams who are having these conversations with quarterbacks are willing to change their plans and trade a pick to go extend Geno? Are the Steelers willing to do that? Are the Jets willing to do that? I
Well,
think it's probably.
clearly the Steelers had a different Seahawk in mind.
I think it is a. I think it is a. There's a pretty good chance that people knew what this was. And so, what the Seahawks had with Geno Smith and what was magical about Geno Smith was, first off, we love Geno. Like, as a person, Geno is awesome. He was great, a great replacement for Russell Wilson and ushering in that next wave of
Just
Seahawks football.
don't talk tax policy.
I mean, the. But there's also the reality that Geno Smith was not, he's not one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. The, like, that's just not a fact. And when people talk about, like, Josh, there was a thing about Josh Allen. It's like the Seahawks wouldn't have extended him. It's like, you're being fucking insane right now. Like, the Seahawks understand the value of quarterbacks. Geno Smith is not Josh Allen, people. Like, I don't know what happened, what transpired between the Seahawks missing the playoffs and now that made people think that Geno Smith was this good of a quarterback. Sam Darnold was top 10 in MVP voting last year.
He was.
Yes. Are we
Wow.
forgetting this? This is a fucking steal because it's not that much money long term. If it doesn't work out, the Seahawks can walk away. If in 2 years Sam Darnold isn't the starting quarterback of the Seahawks, it does not derail their franchise. This isn't Deshaun Watson, right? That's why this is a great deal. In
Certainly
the
is not
same
Deshaun
way
Watson on many
with
levels. I mean,
Geno Smith, they basically have the lowest paid starting quarterback who isn't on a rookie deal in the NFL. And that quarterback is coming off the year where he was top 10 in MVP voting. It's like Justin Fields and, I mean, Baker Mayfield's on a steal right now. But and once Geno signs his extension, we pass that. That's it. Everybody else, people like Derek Carr. I would probably rather have Sam Darnold than Derek Carr in this moment. And Sam Darnold is making less money and younger.
I think Baker Mayfield has been brought up as the comp for this contract wise, and it makes a lot of sense because those are guys that were extremely high picks, washed out. I believe they were together on the Carolina Panthers during 2021 or 2022, right? And then had this strong season as starters in a new system and hit free agency, and it was a little unclear how the market was going to value them because of that track record. Is it was you know, Geno never hit the open, or yeah, Geno never hit the open market, but you know, a similar situation with him where, you know, what, how long is it going to take people to kind of update their priors, or how dramatically are they going to do so? And you know, those are all interesting questions. Sam Darnold is not a top 10 quarterback. Let's all remain calm. He wasn't by the
I'm
performance
not saying that
measures
he is
last
a
year.
top 10 quarterback, but there is a reality that he was top 10 in MVP voting.
I guess the first question we should maybe pose is, like, what are the odds that Sam Darnold has a better performance next season than Geno Smith? And I don't think it's better than 50-50. I still have a little skepticism, certainly, but I think it's probably like 45%. What would you say?
I think it is 50-50 on them next season. And I think the multiple seasons after that, it starts swinging more towards
Exactly.
Darnold.
Each successive season, it's going to be more favorable for Darnold because he is still in the prime of his career, and Geno isn't. So that's, I think, point one, number one to make
But
about
you
this.
definitely can't. I don't think there's almost any metric that you can look at that you could say definitively that you feel confident that Geno is going to be better than Darnold next year.
I mean, I think the Geno believers would point to his performance in true pass situations last season. You know, I don't have that specifically. I can probably glean something similar to it from, you know, third down and five plus performance last season from these two guys, and make that as a comparison, or fourth down as well.
You do have to play in all situations in football, though.
It is a true fact. I think the point is that Geno was in a situation last year where, because of the fact that the Seahawks used so minimal play action, that didn't juice his stats in the way that it normally would and did for Sam Darnold.
I mean, there's definitely like the Chip Kelly offense with Pete Carroll. Maybe he will be better for that season. There are no receivers there really outside of Brock Bowers. Like, I think people are getting a little too excited about the Raiders as well. And Seahawks fans, we should get excited about the Raiders. They're going to be very fun. But people are getting a little too excited about the Raiders' plan right now vis-a-vis the Seahawks. And I think this is the first time in a long time that John Schneider has seemed like he had a plan that made sense to me about where this team is overall.
Darnold on third and fourth downs last year was basically league average. He was 17th in EPA plus CPOE composite from RBSDM.com. Geno was 20th in those situations because I think one of the things that people do forget, like from an EPA standpoint, it's maybe less predictive, but in those situations, there were a ton of crippling turnovers that were committed by Geno Smith, particularly in the red zone.
The
So.
so I was also looking at, we talked about RBSDM, the EPA plus CPOE composite. I was thinking about Sam Darnold, and I was like, has Sam Darnold played well ever before this? Looking it up. And I pulled up the 2022 season when it was kind of like raw stats don't look bad. They look fine. He was 4-2 as a starter in Carolina, ended that season. And Carolina went on a bit of a run at the end of that season, right before they ended up trading up to draft Bryce Young. And I think people had some reasonable expectations for Carolina the next year. Things cratered, obviously. But I was like, this seems good. He didn't end up getting a job after that, which I was a little bit surprised about, that he ended up going and being the backup with Clint Kubiak, Seahawks offensive coordinator in San Francisco. And I was like, was he good statistically in this year, actually? So I pulled up RBSDM and the EPA plus CPOE composite for 2022, which Geno is excellent in 2022. Geno is a very good quarterback in 2022. Still didn't get the kind of contract we're talking about. Again, a very similar situation to Sam Darnold right now. And I had to lower the amount of plays to find Sam Darnold,
Yes.
basically. I mean, it was six games, but just not that many plays overall. And if you get down to where Sam Darnold is, that threshold, 181 plays, do you know where he ranked EPA plus CPOE composite in
I do because
2022?
I did this exact same exercise. It depends how many is you use as your minimum. I put it at 150.
I did 175 because he was at 181 plays, number five in the NFL in that time period. So Sam Darnold is not necessarily coming off one fluke good season. He has had, in seasons that he has been the starting quarterback, statistically, he has had two pretty good seasons. He did it in the small sample size in Carolina. He was a backup in San Francisco for a year, which is probably a pretty good place to be a backup, and then got the starting job, ended up with the starting job in Minnesota because of the JJ McCarthy injury, and went 14-3. Like, I just don't, I get it. we have, it's almost like a fantasy football player.
Let's
That
be
you
careful with
drafted
the
too many
went
times.
14 and three.
The
I don't
team
want
went
to endorse
14
the
and
use of
three,
QB wins.
but there's a reality that it happened. There aren't a lot of bad quarterbacks who go 14 and three.
I guess. I mean, that is setting the bar high. It's not like the Daniel Jones season where, you know, he had the
They
one
got
year.
lucky and won one playoff game. Like, again, there are a lot worse outcomes for the Seahawks right now. And Darnold at this number, it is enough faith. It might not work. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is process-wise, I think this is the right decision for the Seahawks to make this move and to be able, you rarely have a chance to do a mostly lateral pivot. They went out and they found the next Geno Smith. It's kind of the only way to look at it. He has a very similar career to Geno Smith, small sample size, a little bit of success, 1 year of some success, and then they signed him. And if that's what we're looking for, they found the next Geno Smith, and he's now, even at the time of signing this deal, he's 5 years younger than Geno was when he signed the next deal in Seattle. So if it works, you now have him for 3 years. If it works well enough, they'll extend him after the second season, right?
Yeah.
But you also have some consistency at the quarterback position. And if it's Geno and he's 34 and he has a good year, you're kind of like, well, how long is this going to last for? What are the next 2 years? What are the next 3 years with Geno? It's setting a clock on how long you have, and everything else has to hit. So if you're also coming from the standpoint of the Seahawks roster is good enough right now with average quarterback play and an upgrade on defense, which again, defense has not really been touched this year. I think that's a little bit of what people are forgetting. Like, they extended Ernest Jones. You know, the releases that happened weren't, you know, Trey Jones, not a huge part of the defense. I don't think we should expect any regression necessarily from them. At least
I think you should always expect regression. But
based
yes,
upon the transactions, you shouldn't expect that.
The whole idea of like, oh, the Seahawks are rebuilding because they traded Geno and DK. Like, the Seahawks are rebuilding their offense because their offense wasn't very good last year. You know, and I think for a lot of fans, the idea was, well, the problem was strictly Ryan Grubb. So we replaced Ryan
I'm
Grubb
sorry,
with Clint
but like
Kubiak.
Ryan Grubb can't be the only problem.
I do think, I mean,
it's a very, very simple way of looking at it. Ryan
play
Grubb's
action.
Not an idiot. You know
play
what I mean?
Action, but play action is the single, it is a fucking cheat code. Play action is a cheat code. And the Seahawks were like, nope, we don't want to use the cheat code. Let's play on hard mode this year. And that was a bad decision. But I do think, again,
I mean,
I think
Mike McDonald may be part of that. We'll see.
I think part of it is there was such a segment of the Seahawks fan base that was like, made such nonsensical arguments about Geno Smith is the court person holding this team back. And that segment being as vocal as they were on social media, I think pushed a lot of people to defend Geno even more than made sense, because he did make a lot of horrendous decisions last season. And it will be very interesting to see, reunited with Pete Carroll, who focuses on turnovers more than any human being on earth, whether those bad decisions go away next season, or whether they're a product
but
of
what
the
happens
aging
then?
Process.
Do they go 10-7? Like, what do we want?
What
I mean,
do
we
do,
want as people. But
like,
so
look, if you did pair the Mike McDonald defense that we saw last season with the offenses we saw
works.
in 2023,
always be like, if this plus this,
I
there's
agree,
a
but I
reality
don't
if they've
think
got to play the games.
I don't think that was an unreasonable argument.
Sure.
And you were making it out to be an unreasonable
argument.
But
basically what I'm saying is, if you're one of those people who is like, Ryan Grubb is the problem, everything else is in place, Mike McDonald's defense gets better in year
like
two.
Play action is not like a thing that you have
but no,
to like put
fine, yes.
This
listen,
unreal like unrealistic amount of faith in. We have mountains of evidence.
No, I understand.
Ben Baldwin has built his entire like thing on running backs don't matter and play action is like so much better than anything else.
But,
and you don't need to establish the run to do it.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just
the
saying.
The Seahawks just chose not to.
Fine. Yes,
to
they did that. Okay. Listen to what I'm saying, though.
It's like everyone else was playing bumper bowling and they were like,
this
nope,
is like
we're going to
me when I get on a roll
and
you can't talk. If you are one of those people who is feeling optimistic about the Seahawks because of the offensive coordinator transition this year, right? Because
was
of Clint
feeling.
Kubiak.
Was feeling.
Clint Kubiak coming in. You're feeling good about the defense. You're saying you pair this defense with a better offense because of Clint Kubiak. All of these things are still true. That is the point that I'm trying to get to, is Sam Darnold is a good enough quarterback that either way, the way that you're looking at it, Sam Darnold is a good enough quarterback that with a good enough defense can win you enough games, right? We saw it last year. With a good enough defense, with a good offensive coordinator and coach in Minnesota, they won enough games. Like, I know it ended badly, but sorry, the whole season matters. Like, if we're actually that worried about losing in the playoffs, that would be a great problem to have.
I agree with that.
They didn't make the playoffs the last two fucking years. So, like, I just kind of don't get what people are wanting. And I understand it's a knee-jerk, and we liked Geno Smith, and that's it. And it's the same thing about Sam Darnold, like I was saying. He's just been around for a long time. I bet there were people in Tampa Bay who felt that way about Baker Mayfield as well. At some point, players just kind of pass through our lives and we're like, I've seen enough. But Geno disappeared for long enough. And a lot of teams probably felt that way too. And fan bases of other teams would have felt that way about Geno Smith before he had some good performances to make up for it. Sam Darnold is in this phase of he has a pretty good season. He's going to have to match it. He didn't get paid like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He got paid like one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league. And that is why this is a good move. Because again, I don't know if it'll work. It might not. You know, the concerns about the offensive line with Sam Darnold, I think the Seahawks will be about the same as they were this year. If you asked me right now what their record will be next year, I would say 10-7, somewhere between 9-8 and 11-6. And that's probably what I would have said before this.
No, right? I would say between 7-10 and then 11-6. I think there's...
Would you have said that with Geno too, though? Like, yeah, with the roster as it was? Okay, sure. I'm probably more optimistic about it. But all of those things are still true now that were true before about Sam Darnold. But
well,
they got much
younger. You're also missing that they did lose DK Metcalf.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Let's not just gloss over that part of it. Like, when you were envisioning the Seahawks offense getting back to a top 10 level, the idea was you have both DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba as wide receiver options.
But the other piece of it is, if you're a hater on this, you don't like this move. I've been very critical about John Schneider this offseason. I think John Schneider has been, aside from a small handful of moves, a pretty bad GM for quite a few years in a row. This is a swing for John Schneider right now. If it doesn't work within these first year, 2 years, if Sam Darnold is categorically bad next year, the chances of John Schneider being fired are quite high. So this is also an exit route for you as well. It's one of these moments where it kind of works. If it works with Sam Darnold, great. And if it doesn't, it's probably going to go down in flames. And if there's a rebuild that you're wanting, that rebuild is coming. But right now they have a shot at extending this current run that they're on, right? Building with this defense. Mike McDonald doesn't want to rebuild. These defensive players don't want to rebuild right now. They don't want to tank for a year. And I don't even know if I really believe that the idea of tanking exists in the NFL. And how people... We're overall in the aggregate pretty good at judging who's going to be good in the NFL. On an individual team scale, we're not that good. Right? Thinking about teams that we saw as tanking or whatever, like the Texans ended up being very good 2 years ago. The Commanders this season. Things can change very quickly in an NFL season. So
things can change very quickly if you've got the right quarterback.
Maybe. I mean, for the Minnesota Vikings, do you think that many people went into this last season thinking after JJ, even before JJ McCarthy was hurt, that they would be where they were?
No.
So you kind of get both options here. It either works or it doesn't, and it'll be catastrophic in its failure. And John Schneider will be gone, and there'll be a new regime running the team. So I'm kind of like, this is it. This is everything. It's all the different options. They can win the Super Bowl if the defense is good and the offense is a little bit better. I believe that. Or they could be good enough to be exactly the same as they were with Geno, or it fails and John is gone. Like, there's almost no way to view this as that bad as a Seahawks fan, if that makes sense. At least maybe this is too rosy, but I'm also looking at it as like, shit, maybe it won't work. But even if it doesn't, it's not like they gave him $50 million guaranteed per season. They hedged their bets with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you keep saying they can get out of this after 2 years. And yes, it is basically a two-year contract because there's surely no guaranteed money whatsoever in the third year. Like, I sketched out what this structure probably looks like. We know it's $37.5 million in year one. I believe that was Mike Garafolo who reported that. So it's probably about a $35 million signing bonus, something like a $2.5 million base this year. Maybe it's even a little less than that. So you're talking about And then you've got about 17.5 million additional guaranteed money in year two of the contract in all likelihood. So even if they cut him after this season, they would take a huge dead cap. They wouldn't accelerate any money. It would be cap neutral for them to get out of this contract after 1 year. And then in year two, there would be a $33 million cap savings under that structure and only 11.7 million dead cap. So it is not the kind of contract that precludes you from drafting a quarterback, with the Seahawks now having, many five picks in the
It's
first three
also
rounds of this draft.
organizationally not a move that prevents you from drafting a quarterback because Geno Smith had a lot of leverage within the organization. Russell Wilson had the most leverage that anybody's ever had in the organization. But and then to Geno Smith, who ended up with quite a bit, they made a decision not to in that transition period. I don't know if it was the right decision. Might not have been. But Sam Darnold is not coming in with that kind of leverage. If they draft a quarterback, Sam Darnold has to sit there and train them and play with that quarterback. Like it's there is an organizational leverage that matters when drafting a quarterback.
It would be interesting to know in percentage of the cap. I'm sure this is still more than the Matt Flynn contract when they signed him in 2012, but I don't know if it's like dramatically more than the Matt Flynn
They signed
contract.
Matt
And
Flynn after one good game.
it was more than one. We were pretty hyped about the Matt Flynn signing. I'm not going to lie. There was no Pelton cast back in those days. But I do have the receipts somewhere that A, I was excited about the Russell Wilson signing, but a con draft pick. But B, I was also pretty excited about Matt Flynn. Should we talk about the DK piece of this? Because that is an important one. So they end up, we got reports after we last recorded over the weekend that the Seahawks had lowered their price from the original first round and a third round pick. Wow, shocking that they weren't able to get that. And it ended up, I think, about where, when we talked about this with Mike Sean, when we talked about this with Ben Baldwin, about where we all sort of suspected it would land, a decent but not great second round pick. I mean, the Steelers, it's amusing that they traded for DK Metcalf because in many ways they are the NFL franchise most similar to the Seahawks. They have been in the same vein. They have made the playoffs more often than the Seahawks have, but right around 500 for a long period of time. Not a long-term solution at quarterback. We're linked to many of the same quarterbacks.
What pick was it precisely?
52. The Seahawks, I believe,
12 picks higher than DK Metcalf was selected at.
the Seahawks have picked 50, so it's 50 and 52 now, off the top of my head. And now the Pittsburgh Steelers do not have a quarterback. We will see. It may soon be Aaron Rodgers. It may remain Russell Wilson. But the Seahawks have a quarterback, and the Steelers don't. So it was kind of amusing to see the two of those teams combine on a deal here. But now we are in a position where the Seahawks need to either add via free agency at wide receiver or draft one relatively high to start right away, because you have gone from having three reliable wide receivers last year with the DK trade and Tyler Lockett's release to having precisely one. And even in a Kubiak offense where we expect the number three wide receiver will not be as much of a factor, the number two is still probably going to be a pretty big factor. So that remains to be seen. I think that and the offensive line are the two dominoes we're sort of waiting for, because the defense feels pretty set.
I mean, they're going to draft players defensively for sure, but as far as free agency goes, like I thought this was a great deal for DK Metcalf, all things considered.
Oh,
Because again,
yeah.
I don't think we have a report on what the guaranteed money is for DK, and that changes things. The initial report on it, you said it was something like he'll average around 33 million per year of new money.
34, I believe.
34 million per year, which makes him basically the second, oh, right there, number the third highest paid receiver in the NFL. DK Metcalf is not the third best receiver in the NFL.
But
We
even the
know that.
Pittsburgh Steelers don't think that. Like, so much of the he's the X highest paid is just the timing of when your contract comes up,
I
because the cap
agree,
is
but
increasing so much.
still, he's one of those players who's able to get to that number, right? To being near the top of the salary cap right now. And I gotta be honest, DK Metcalf was probably due for some regression pretty quickly. We might have had some this season already. Right. Again, you could blame Ryan Grubb. You could blame Geno Smith. There was probably some regression for DK Metcalf as is, but
You can
long term,
also blame just Jackson Smith and Jigba becoming the number one option.
great. That's fine. But there's a reality that if Jackson Smith and Jigba is better than you, you're probably not that good. Ja'Marr Chase didn't have T. Higgins become better than him. Justin Jefferson didn't have Jordan Addison become better than him, right? Those are the kind of receivers. CeeDee Lamb didn't have Michael Gallup become better than him. Like, those are the type of receivers that I think make sense to pay this kind of money. And all of them, when they are getting their deals, are younger as well. Like, it just, it's not a good financial decision to have extended DK Metcalf at this point when it's probably going to be a negative value contract within the next couple of years. And would you say it was 52nd pick? The 52nd yes. pick in the draft? The 52nd pick in the draft is one of the most valuable assets you can have. Correct. Across the league.
I mean, it's still better to have a first round pick.
Second round picks are amazing.
It's still better to have the first round pick because you can trade down from the first round and get the 52nd pick yes. and some other stuff. But yes, if you look at like where the value curve on the draft is peaking relative to the contracts these players are getting, it tends to be the early to second round. So yeah, I mean, the Seahawks have done very well getting a lot of starters and long-term contributors in the second round. They've got three of the top 52 picks now. They should come away with that with a wide receiver and an offensive lineman. And then they've still got one of those three picks to play around with in terms of just kind of the value as the board falls.
Also a pretty good receiver draft this year. I mean, you know, I would be excited about pairing JSN and Mecca Buka together. I was in Steilacoom yesterday. Shouts to Steilacoom. People were like, nobody lives in Steilacoom. And I'm like, I know one person who did. Who's
telling you this?
The children. I actually said, no person from Lacey is your friend. We had a great time at the wildlife reserve in Olympia. I'm not sure exactly which city it was in, the National Wildlife Refuge.
I feel like Jimmer has done some pro Lacey takes on the Discord.
All right, I'll take it. The amount of...
Well, according to this, even though he went to Steilacoom, do you know where Emeka Egbuka grew up?
Lakewood?
DuPont?
Oh, wow. No, I didn't. That's a word I've seen on the freeway.
Exactly.
The amount of these receivers that you see as the highest paid across the league who were drafted in this territory we're talking about, I don't know all of these off the top of my head, but like DK Metcalf is one, AJ Brown is another one, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think Ayuk was a first round pick if I remember correctly,
yeah.
Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, maybe he was a later first round pick, Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, Nico Collins, like Deebo Samuel, Michael Pittman. The NFL is littered with receivers who became star receivers who were second and third round picks. It's kind of the sweet spot for taking one of those receivers. And now the Seahawks have a couple of picks there. Like if you went through and looked at this as what pick they were taking, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, you know, some of these players are maybe overpaid, but these are good receivers who were taken in that territory. And the two receivers that we just mourned this last week leaving Seattle were drafted in the second and third rounds. So you could have the second best receiver in franchise history be drafted in the third round. It's not the type of thing that you need to necessarily spend this kind of money on. You have to take some shots to do it, to find those players. It's not a given that every single one of them is going to be.
There's a DS cringe for every Tyler Lockett.
But if you take enough shots, you're going to find those players. And that's why I'm kind of like, when you look at the positions of value, I'm like, just draft receivers, draft quarterbacks, draft edge rushers, draft those players, draft tackles. Like, that's why we talk about drafting for positional value more than need, because these players become those types of players. The Seahawks, what the Seahawks got out of DK Metcalf, and this is one thing I'll say for John Schneider, is incredible to draft him with a second round pick to get higher prime and then to trade him for a second round pick. That's like how, if it's crass, but that's how you want to run as an organization, right?
And I think the other thing, I do think they need to, I think they should sign a veteran wide receiver who could potentially be the number two this year, because one of the things you see is like as good as Jackson
just
Smith.
Trade for a fourth round pick.
Perfectly fine. To
please,
make
Rams,
sense as well.
Please trade for him.
Well, I don't think that's happening.
Send him home. Demand a trade, Cooper. Say you have one destination.
What city is Cooper Kupp from?
I don't know.
Well, you go look that up while I'm making this point. As good as those players often are, even Jackson Smith and Jigba, who we are now viewing is the Seahawks star of the future at wide receiver, was not that productive as a rookie. And sometimes it takes a year to adjust to the NFL to get to
You're
that
not going to
point.
believe this. DuPont Washington. No, not actually. He's from Yakima. But I'm
Okay.
sure he grew up as a Seahawks fan in Yakima.
I think if Cooper Kupp had his choice, I think the Seahawks would be high on the list. Unfortunately, he does not entirely control that process. But look, there's lots more to play out this offseason. The thing about trading DK Metcalf and trading Geno
Trading
Smith and
Geno
signing
Smith.
Sam Darnold to this contract is they do have considerable cap space left to play with.
They have cap space. They have draft capital right
Yes.
now. Those are the two most important things to have at this point. I again, you can debate whether you think John Schneider's the person to be spending that money, but he is. So that's kind of the world that we have to live in. You can't just be like, well, they have the wrong guy, so I'm gonna be mad about everything. Fine, be mad about everything. But as it is, this offseason, in my perspective, I think John Schneider has handled a very difficult offseason that they could have just run it back, which might have been fine. And he's set up the Seahawks in a much better position for the next 5 years right now.
The contract that I scratched out, that structure for Darnold would give him a $14.2 million cap hit this year. So Seahawks are going to have a lot of money left to spend. And you know what I would have to say?
What's
Solid
that?
B plus for the Seahawks so
There
far.
we go.
On that note,
Thanks for listening.
we will be back with our emergency or non-emergency
We
regular
only record
show.
emergency
Maybe
pods.
we'll be back with an
Oops,
emergency
all
pod. Who
emergencies.
knows? Who knows who the Seahawks may sign? We will be back with our weekly pod later this week and talk about the rest of Seattle sports. But the Seahawks are keeping us plenty busy
Third round, pick
thus far.
69, Cooper Kupp.
Thanks for listening.